Luke chapter 10, Luke the 10th chapter. Everybody say, we're going our subject today is be a good Samaritan. Everybody say, be a good Samaritan. So we're going to talk about the love responsibilities that we all have. And we're going to glean some things from Jesus's parable of the good Samaritan that we need to apply and live out today. Amen. And so we're going to have an assignment for our kids. So that's why I asked you to kind of stick around a little bit. Now it's going to come right after I read the scripture here. So let me read the scripture. It's Luke chapter 10, verse 25. We're going to read down to verse 37. And behold, the lawyer stood up and tested him. Everybody say, it's not good to test Jesus. He's saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, a lawyer should have knew this, but he's testing Jesus, which is not good. And he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, look at verse 29, but he wanting to justify himself. Unfortunately, that happens too often today. He said to Jesus, then, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Everybody say Jerusalem to Jericho was 17 miles. 17 miles. That's a long trip, right? And he said here, Jerusalem, Jericho, and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at his place, came and looked and passed on the other side. So you got a priest and a Levite. All right, verse number 33. But a certain Samaritan, everybody say Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Oil and wine. Wine was for the cleansing and comfort. The oil was for medicinal reasons and also to strengthen the clotting of the wound. All right? Pouring on the oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, so he used his own car or transportation, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Hmm. On the next day he departed, he took out 2 denarii. So 2 denarii, or 2 denarii, however you want to pronounce it, is a day's wages. So the day's wage, that's cost money. Everybody say he used his own money. And gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. Everybody say, that's sacrifice. So which of these do you think was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said unto him, go and do likewise. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, I want all the kids to come up. Come up. So we want the kids 3 years old up to elementary school, and then we'll get the bigger kids in a minute, too, if we have enough. Come on up. Luke, come on up. Help. Luke, come help line the kids up. Okay. Come stand right here. Just stand right here in front of me.
Middle school.
Kobe, can you come? Come on, Kobe. Right here. Go by Omar. Go by Omar right here. There you go. All right. Everybody say this after me. Pastor, I will be a good Samaritan. So what I'm going to do is give you some money. But the rule is you can't use it for yourself. You're going to have to use it to be a blessing or to help somebody else this week. Now next week, when we have children's church, you're going to come back and tell the teachers, children's church people, what? This is what I did with the money I was given. I want you to practice being a good Samaritan. Everybody say, Pastor, I will practice being a good Samaritan. All right. We'll start with Kobe. Come on, y'all give him a hand as they get their money. Whatever you want to do with it, you want to think about it and ask the Lord, how can I help somebody this week? Okay? How can I help somebody this week? Now the older kids, middle school, get $10. Okay? All right. And come on up, Sammy. I know you're in high school. We'll give you $10. Come on. All right, let's touch your hands and pray over these kids. Father God, we bless them, and we ask you to surround them with wisdom, faith, and love from heaven above, so that they will do and they will be a loving, good Samaritan to everyone or anyone that you put on their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, go and do likewise, okay? Go and do likewise. Now, remember, you can't spend it on yourself. So it's not for cookies or fast food. If it's for somebody else, then that's good. So tell Pastor Cynthia next Sunday what you did to be a good Samaritan, okay? Everybody good? So praise the Lord. Now let's unpack this story a little bit. Everybody like that? That's good. Amen. We love the kids. We they're our next generation, right? We're raising them up. All right. Like I said, this was a journey that went 17 miles from Jerusalem to Jericho. If you understand the geography, it was a slopey downhill trek from Jerusalem to Jericho, 17 miles. Now, most of us are not walking 17 miles, but a lot of people walked. It was a skinny road. It was a narrow road. There was a lot of bends and twists in it, and, of course, it was a perfect place for thieves and bandits to go and attack people and jump on them or rob them. And so this is what happened to them. Now, I want you to see these opportunities that came to three different people that Jesus mentioned. One came to a priest, one came to a Levite, and one came to a Samaritan, who were considered by the Jews as half-breeds, not good enough, no good people. But isn't it interesting, Jesus didn't use a Jew in the account because he's using a literal account. He's saying, this is what God loves. And this is what God likes. And you are to go and do the same thing. So in the month of September, brothers and sisters, we want you to ratchet it up a notch in your love game. Take your love game onto another level. And so we want you to be able to invest in meeting the needs of other people and performing random acts of kindness and generosity, motivated by the divine love that's in you. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So, the man who approached Jesus was a lawyer. You might have an opinion about lawyers, but lawyers, They knew the first five books of the Bible. They knew the law. They were students of the law. And a part of their school, the rabbi school, they had to learn the book of Proverbs verbatim by heart. They had to know, like the back of their hand, the Pentateuch, which is the Mosaic Law, the first five books of the Bible. So in that, Jesus responded back to him. What does your law read? I know you're trying to test me. I know you're trying to tempt me. But what does your law read? He knew he was a lawyer. Or we might say a scribe. So he did not ask that question sincerely. He tried to trap Jesus. Everybody say, trapping Jesus is not good. So Jesus thought through his game. And so the religious scholars of the time loved to discuss urgent social problems, just like today, that everybody's posting about what's going on in the world, but who's doing something about it? Now, I want to submit to you that the people that should be doing about things in our community, in our neighborhoods, is us. We are not created as a church to just be on the corner somewhere. We're to be a church in the community. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Everybody say, be a good Samaritan. So when he asked the question, who is my neighbor? He gave him away. Because Luke 19:18 says, don't seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love what? Your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now I want everyone to examine and evaluate, am I doing that? Because love is not a noun, brother. It is a verb. That means action is required. It's an action word. Praise the Lord. And so in this case of this lawyer or this scribe, love was just merely a concept to study, not a practice. Some people just want to study the Bible and study Jesus, but they don't want to follow and live like Jesus. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So this parable, perhaps more than any other Jesus told, illustrates what it means to love others. The followers, a Jesus follower of Jesus cannot separate their relationship with God from their relationship with other people. You can't say, well, I'm getting along with Jesus. I pray to Jesus. I read my Bible. I pray every day. I do all this. But what do you do for other people? See, there's an inworking between you and God. God works in you, but that's supposed to be out working out outside of you. There should be an outworking. And that's what we call you become lopsided, a lopsided Christian, where you think everything is about you. You getting your blessings, you in the presence of God, you praying in the Spirit, you doing all these things, but it never works out to somebody else in need. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we learn and glean from this kind of compassion does not originate in religion or responsibility. Go back to the priest. He's like, I'm on schedule. And there's a whole bunch of priests, and I got 2 weeks to get this done. I go back home and do my business. So he figures, I'm going to set schedule, so I've got a religious duty to perform. I do it, but if I deal with this person who's bleeding and half dead over here, I can't do my responsibilities or my religious works. And Jesus out loud discounted that person because he passed what? On the other side. The Levite did the same. Levites were what we call praise and worship leaders. They did the worship. They maintained the temple grounds. So the Levites, if the priest touched a person that was dead because he's over here crying and screaming. He said, well, if he's dead or if he's almost dead, then I'm ceremonially unclean. So I missed my rotation. So compassion does not originate in religion or responsibility, but in a relationship. Everybody say relationship. We cannot talk about I'm getting along with God and I'm getting along good with God when we can't get along with other people. Or we won't take time to love and sacrifice for other people. Praise the Lord. So compassion and caring are big components of God. Look, what is compassion? An intense, eager yearning to do good and show kindness and goodness to others in need. An intense, eager yearning to do good, to show kindness and goodness to others in need, to show pity and sympathy, a loving care by tending to the distress, pain, or misfortunes of another person. So in other words, step out of your own boat and find somebody that's hurting, that's homeless, that's helpless, that needs your help from God. You be the hand of God. You be the fingers of God. You be the legs of God and go out and be a blessing. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Now, caring is anticipating the needs of another person and meeting them. It's proactive. You know, get off the lower flow of always ask, do you need anything? You see somebody moving around and they want to, do you need anything? Who do you ask first? You should ask the Holy Spirit. We always, before you come to church, you should ask two questions, right? What are the two questions? Anybody can tell me. What did I learn? And who can I help? Let the Holy Spirit, who can you help? Praise the Lord. Y'all hear y'all going home already. So for these kids, they can talk to the Lord and say, who do I help? I got this money, Lord. Who do I help? Who do I be a blessing to? For us, we pray the prayer each morning. Lord, make me a blessing. Now, it's easy for many of us to pray this prayer. Lord, bless me. Bless my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. That's easy to pray, right? But turn it on the other side and say, I want to be a good Samaritan this week. Lord, make me a blessing to somebody today. And be open and yielded to the Holy Spirit to say, okay, where is it, Lord? Now, if you don't make yourself available, you'll never be used. If you say like the priest, I'm too busy, I've got religious assignments to do, I'm walking away from the opportunity. If you say like the Levite, I have responsibilities in the temple, I'm on schedule, I'm going to the other side. But our relationship with God should draw us to what? Compassion and show mercy. Because the commandment we're under is what? Love your neighbor. After we say we love God with all of our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our might, all our mind, all of that, everybody gets that part. But when it says love your neighbor as yourself, do we get like the lawyer? Who's my neighbor? Because some people think that Christianity is personal and private. In other words, let me say it this way. In other words, they say, well, my salvation is personal. Yes, it is. But it's never private. Because he didn't save you to sit and wait till you get your ticket to heaven and get go by the way of the grave or go by the way of the rapture. Let me just make it on my own. No, you're there to keep giving your salvation away. He saved me. Jesus can help you. Jesus helped me. Jesus can heal you. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, next slide, guys. Now let's look at some scripture that tells us about love in action and practicing love, because that's the theme, that's the emphasis today, is that we need to practice love. Now, if you cooped up in your house and your schedule's cooped up in your life where you're so busy that you don't even think about loving somebody else, actively loving someone else in need, then I would submit to you and suggest to you adjust your schedule. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, 1 John 3, it says, this is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love what? Love one another. Everybody say love one another. Come on, church, say it again like you mean it. Love one another. Love one another. We must not be like Cain. Everybody remember Cain and Abel? What did Cain do? He killed his brother Abel. That's not love. But the Bible tells us we must not be like who? Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Let's get to the brass tacks. Because Cain had been doing what was evil and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. So don't worry about the world hating you, the people outside of Christ. But our responsibility is to love those in Christ and in the spiritual family of God. Praise the Lord. He said, if we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. In other words, we don't have to hear you. We just got to see you. In other words, the Word of God's telling us, how do I know I'm a true, bona fide Christian? If I love my brothers and sisters. Now remember, love's not a noun. It's a what? It's an action word. It's a verb. It's an action word. That means I'm doing something to love them. I'm demonstrating something to love them. I'm displaying my love for them in a tangible and practical and real way. Somebody say hallelujah. So he said, but a person who has no love is still dead. Because love is the greatest motivator. If love is working in you and flowing through you, it motivates you to do something, to help somebody, to be a blessing to someone. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Anyone who hates his brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that no murderers have eternal life with them. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Say amen. Or oh me, if it's there. See, evidence that a person has passed from death to life is shown by that person's love for the brethren. Even the difficult or different ones. And those who do not love their fellow brothers and sisters are wicked like Cain. God puts them in the same category. There's no middle in between. He said there's love or the absence or withholding of love, which is hatred, starting, and hate. Love, hate. Some people think, well, I don't hate them, Pastor. I just don't want to talk to them. I don't want to deal with them. Jesus said the same thing. It's just like when you're killing somebody, murderous Cain did, because you refuse or you choose not to love them. And when we say the context of love, the two main manifestations of love, give and forgive. So if you choose not to give when you have the resources and means, and they have a need, but you withhold giving to them, or you refuse to forgive them when they need forgiveness. That's the beginning of hatred. To just withhold love and withhold forgiveness is the beginning of hatred. You know you got the means, the money, the method to help them, and you say, I can't help you. I don't want to help you. You shut up compassion. You refuse to love and you refuse to forgive, and now you walking around drinking a gallon of Haterade. Not Gatorade, Haterade. And so now you're in trouble. You're considered wicked like Cain. Because he's not writing to non-Christians. He's writing to people that know about God, know God. In fact, hatred of other believers in God's eyes is tantamount to murder. So again, hatred is a refusal or withholding of love that's due. Because the Bible says to us in Romans 3, 8 through 10, look at that down here. Owe no one, nothing to anyone except your obligation. Everybody say my obligation to love one another. He's not the other words for love. He's not using phileo. He's not using eros. He's not using storge. Storge is family love, domestic love, love of a parent to a child, child to a parent, relatives, siblings, right? Uncles and aunts and la familia, right? La familia, that's family love. That's storge. And then that's natural human love. He's not using that word. He's not using eros, which is romantic or sensual love. He's not using phileo, which is friendship or brotherly love, fraternal love of brothers of the same group or fraternity or something like that. He's not using that. He's using agape. He's using, if we have love for one, obligation to love one another, that means love as a sacrifice, the divine love of God, the love that steps across what I feel and what I need to what they need. Somebody say, praise the Lord. He said, your obligation, if you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandment says, you must not commit adultery. We all know that. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. What's the one commandment? Let's read it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirement of God's law. So some people argue with me. Sometimes I hear from married couples or people in relationships, and they say, and they just run a mile. And I say, whew, time. So what's your responsibility? Because they think, because I bought this, or I pay for this, or I pay this bill, I do this, I put money out here, I'm loving you. No, that doesn't mean that. Love is committed to meet the person's needs without complaining or fussing about it. You know, if you're single and dating or you're in a relationship, you always want to, well, somebody say, well, I love you. Well, you understand biblically that means something different than the world means. Loving in the world just means I feel good about you. You know, I like being around you. I like hanging out with you or whatever the case may be. Hopefully not the dark side of that, but when you say I love you in a Christian context, that means you committed to meet my needs for the rest of my life without asking for anything in return. And you always hear people say, well, they have commitment issues. Well, if you do have commitment issues if you don't love with the love of God. If you don't use the divine love of God, then there's no commitment there. There's no compassion there. There's no caring there. And the Bible says, how can that love of God be if you don't demonstrate those things, those characteristics or qualities? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You're preaching real good, Pastor. Hallelujah. All right, keep going. Let's keep going. All right, so divine love, let's define it for you. When we say agape, we're saying first it's a choice. Everybody say a choice. That means it's not in the emotional class. It's not feelings. Because most people say, well, I love you. Well, then you feel good about me right now. But do you love me when I'm unlovable? Do you love me when I'm difficult or different, have a different opinion than yours? Some people get all huffy and stirred up because some person doesn't like the way they do it or like what they said, and they're different or they're difficult to them. So now they say, I'm not going to love you. I'm going to withhold love for you because you're not doing what I want. You're not doing, saying what I need, what I like. And so they pull their love back. Everybody says a choice. So when you go to a restaurant this afternoon or this week, Labor Day weekend, what do? You choose to forgive the waiter and the restaurant cook. If they cook your steak not just right, what are you doing? You got to make a choice to forgive them. You talk about how they prepare the food and you complain about your meal or the price. You chose to go there. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And some people withhold love because they say, well, they ain't going to get no tip. What am I saying to you this morning? You got to practice love and practice compassion. Don't practice hate, because it's easy to practice hate, because our flesh is well-trained, highly developed in practicing hate, because your flesh is selfish. That's why you have to let your spirit, where the love of God flows through, be the at the ascendancy. You got to put your spirit in charge, like we said in the email this morning. Put your spirit in charge, because if you put your flesh in charge, natural flesh is selfish. And what can it do? It can turn to hate overnight. You can tell the person you've been with for 10, 15 years, I hate you. Why? Because you've been practicing hatred. You've been practicing withholding love. You've been practicing withholding and restraining forgiveness and not releasing forgiveness. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You've not been practicing showing compassion or having mercy on others in need. Come on now. Come on, lift your hands and thank God for that. We got to get into practice. Some of us are out of practice. You've gotten really developed in just thinking about what you need, how you feel, what you want, because individualistic. And it's nothing wrong with being unique or diverse or individuals, but you have to learn the love way. The love way, the compassion way, is to have yearning and intentionality to go and say, what do they need? What do they want? What will bless them? What will benefit them? What will be a blessing to them? Let me get the oil and the wine and let me go pour it. They're hurting and bleeding. Let me go get my oil and wine and pour it in. I usually like to watch my show this time. I usually like to do this about this time. I don't want to be bothered with people this time. No, step out of the boat. Step out of your comfort. Don't pass on the other side. Don't take the road and path of least resistance. Go to the need. Put them on your car. Go pick them up in your car. Go spend your gas. Come on now. Go pay for their meals. Y'all making me preach too hard this morning. What's up with that? What's up with everybody this morning? Come on now. It's the last Sunday in August. We got to close it out good, right? Somebody say, praise the Lord. So it's a choice. A choice. I can make the choice in the morning to walk in divine love, or I can make the choice in the morning, I'm just going to be selfish. If you don't choose love, you're going to be, by default, choose selfishness. Because that boogerhead, your flesh is going to rise up and dominate your spirit, and you're going to do everything according to what you need. If there's last little bit of food in the refrigerator, you're going to eat it for yourself. You're not going to ask anybody else if they want it or if they need it. I better hurry up and get mine. If there's one more donut you like on the table and you want it to take it home, you snatch it. You don't ask anybody else, do you want a donut? Would you like to have this? Y'all see this over the holidays? People grab happy at Thanksgiving. Or they digging out of their child or grandchild's bag to get the candy they want. Woo! Man. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good today. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You got to make a choice. Or you're going to be walking around a stinky, selfish saint. When you drive at that restaurant, forgive everybody. They tell you it's 45-minute wait. Don't you throw a fit, a hissy fit. Don't throw a flesh carnality rage, a fit of carnality. If we choose to wait, then wait in love and patience. Somebody say, praise the Lord. If they don't have your favorite seat, if they don't have the best seat, don't complain. If they didn't wipe off the table real good, just ask somebody kindly, please wipe off the table, and don't start barking at them and saying their tip's going to be, they're not going to get a tip. You know, I even challenge everybody, be good tippers. Good tippers start at 10, 20%. Don't choke at that. Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. And then you go up from there. Don't get less than 20% tip. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then, so it's not an emotion class. So you can make a choice. So you're not moved by your emotions and how you feel. You make a choice. You pre-decide. I'll choose to walk in love. You're going to meet with somebody. You know it may be a difficult conversation. You choose to walk in love. I choose to yield to the love of God. And then secondly, compassion. We design that. Intense, eager yearning to do good. Show kindness to others. Third, commitment. Everybody say commitment. A decided determination and diligence to meet the needs of someone for the rest of their life without asking for something in return. So in other words, that's how marriage works. We celebrate 39 years. Come on, y'all, give it up. I know others have gone farther. But you can't make it 39 years without commitment. It's not feeling in that at all. But you've already made a choice. We're committed. Till death do us part. Praise the Lord. Amen. And then number four, caring. Everybody say caring. Anticipating the needs of another and meeting them. It's thinking about and thinking ahead of what they need. Loving and giving forgiveness and care intentionally and purposefully. No ulterior motives. Hallelujah. So we're told by Jesus not to let divine love extend beyond to extend beyond our friends and people who like us and people who are different. That's why I believe he used that account, which he wasn't making up a story. He was given a literal account. He said there was a Samaritan that came. Samaritan is not supposed to be good people. So it probably offended that lawyer when he said a Samaritan. He said a Samaritan did better than the Jewish priest and the Jewish Levite. Church going folks, he said, there's people that did better than church going folks. You see how many people were helping people in the Kerrville and that Kerr County and all that flooding stuff? I was talking to people, clients from Seguin all the way up to the Hill Country, and they were talking about all they did and all they sacrificed and all the rallying that come together to help people in need. Now, some people just want to sit and watch and talk about it, but they actually did something about it. I was talking to a police officer who was volunteering after an 8-hour shift, 10-hour shift, excuse me, police chief. He said, I'm going to help with the flooding, the Guadalupe River and all that. And he says, man. And so he was volunteering time. I said, how much time are you going to put in out there? He said, I'll probably put another 8 hours or 10 hours to help clean up stuff. So we were at that Arby's right off I-10 in Seguin, as you get right in the big gas station. I was meeting somebody there. So I said, well, let me pay for your lunch. Why? Because he's showing compassion. He said, it ain't time to go home and rest because my body feels tired. He said, it's time to sacrifice. Because we got people in our community who are hurting. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So that was a pleasure for me to buy his lunch. and be a blessing to him and thanked him. Somebody say, praise God. Matthew 5:44-46. He said, but I say unto you, love your who? Enemies. Bless those who what? Curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. We know that we pass from death to life if we love one another, including your enemies, including those who curse you, including those who hate you. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. If he loved those who love you, what reward have you? Nothing. But even the tax collectors do the same. So he says, love your enemies, not just your friends. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Amen. Look at verse 1 John 1, 3 and 16 or 18. You know that real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. Look at this. So we all also ought to give up our lives for the brothers and sisters. Will you give up your life? September, October, November, December, 2026. That means put yourself out of the way and look at what somebody else needs. Don't just come around and talk about what you got going on and what you want and what you need. You ask them first. How's it going? What do you need? How may I serve you? How may I help you? Praise God. So he said, if someone has, look at this, if someone has enough money to live well and sees his brother and sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our what? Our actions. So as Jesus exemplified, love always involves sacrifice. Everybody say sacrifice. Sometimes even to death. He gave up his life for us. We ought to lay down our life for what? For who? One another. Claiming to love others is easy, but true love translates into actions. So Christians who love are others are willing to do it and give themselves in costly ways. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, I'm glad Jesus didn't say family. He said friends. So that means what? I lay down my life for my friends. Praise God. Hallelujah. Next, last slide. Y'all getting something out of this today? So the Samaritan showed compassion and had mercy and sacrificed his what? His time, his money, his resources to help someone in a difficult situation. Jesus told us this is loving your neighbor. He put him on his horse or colt or his mule. He used his car. He paid his hotel bill for 2 days. He used oil and wine that he brought to show compassion and comfort to someone in need. Come on now. What did he say to us? Now, which of these three would you say was neighbor to the man that was attacked by bandits? And Jesus said, the man who showed mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. Now, will you show mercy and compassion today, this week, this month? See, being religious does not and refuses to show mercy and compassion. And taking on religious responsibilities does not sacrifice time or money to help others in need. Only a relationship with the Lord does. Praise God. Come on, y'all, stand to your feet. Let's thank God. Thank you, Lord. Everybody got that today? Thank you, Jesus. That's the next step. That's the next rung on the ladder. We have to cease being mean and spiteful to other people. We have to be compassionate. So I'm asking.